Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Listen for the word of God. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mary carried a blessing around in her body. And something tells me that it didn't always feel like a blessing. Can I get an amen on that one? God's blessings can be so mysterious and complicated. As hard to wrap our minds around as unexpected pregnancy and considerations of dismissing a partner quietly or ending important relationships, God's blessings can be as mysterious and hard to wrap our minds around as birth pangs and as angels changing the trajectory of our whole lives in a single night's sleep, in one solitary dream. Mystery, aka confusion, or something both at once hidden and revealed. Mystery seems to be the currency of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, we may need angels to calm us down. And when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we may need to take a breather and process what it feels like when God makes a home in our bodies. Or maybe we at least need to get some sleep. It might be a prerequisite for being able to hear God clearly after all. Maybe that's why Jesus himself is so fond of naps. We cannot fully imagine what Mary must have experienced, nor can we truly understand Joseph's attempt at living righteously with his thoughts of dismissing her quietly, until a holy being interceded to keep the Holy Family intact. But we can imagine and wonder about that mystery of embodiment. The mystery that God becomes a human being in Jesus. What does this really mean? And that Jesus begins his time on this earth as vulnerably as the rest of us. A little newborn birthed by a teenager fleeing political persecution, raised with a carpenter. God chooses embodiment. God's Holy Spirit and God's angelic messengers are not just a thought experiment for Mary and Joseph in this story of our faith, but the Spirit and the angel highlight for us lived experiences of God's coming down to this earth to be with us, to be one of us, to walk alongside us, to awaken us, to grieve with us, to challenge us, to change us. These bodies that we inhabit are imbued with the spark of the divine. Somewhere between the adenine and guanine, there is another metaphorical component stamped into our DNA that reads, "Made in God's image." It is written within us if we would learn to listen deeply. God has fashioned us in love, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what on earth do we do with that kind of mystery? How do we sleep at night knowing at any moment angels just might invade our dreams, calling us to live a different life than we wanted to imagine? When we ruminate on the revelation that God makes God's own home in us, that God created us in God's image, that God comes down in flesh and bone, Our understanding of this world shifts. The way we tell and interpret our own stories shifts. Our ability to see the world more fully begins to emerge. The Spirit does not leave us to dream our dreams alone or in a peace, but unsettles us so as to center us. So what is unsettling inside each one of us today? And how might the Spirit use that sense of unsettling to center and focus on God and our trust in God, and to center our hearts more so on Jesus' way for our lives? Poet Mary Oliver once wrote, "Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it." As a wise one told me this week, the great mistake is to live this life as though I am alone. In your body is where that you learn that you belong to God. And the body of the other that you talk to is where they are going to learn that they too belong. We have to free each other to know that and to notice that. We are living in these bodies, friends. And this is a complicated week to be embodied, is it not? This week we recognize both the wonder and the frailty of our human bodies. This week we confront our own fears of impermanence in this world as we simultaneously seek to make compassionate choices to care for our bodies. Our own bodies, those we hold dear, those we will never meet. This week, we ask God to teach us how to care compassionately for our neighbors. This week, we pray for medical workers and caretakers and emergency personnel who tend to the bodies of beloveds we know and those we don't. This week, we pray about how to give in our own lives so that people who work on hourly wages can afford to miss work if they get sick. This week, we wonder in our prayers, asking for God's inspiration for how to support those in our communities, our neighborhoods, who are most at risk when illness hits home, whatever kind of illness we may have to deal with throughout the whole course of our lives. How can we really rally together to provide food drops at doorsteps or send along gift cards when needed or offer rides or whatever else a given situation may inspire? We're thinking a lot about our bodies this week. And so we pray to God for our bodies, for health and wholeness, for healing, and perhaps sometimes even for release. We are living in these bodies, friends, and it can be so very complicated. So may we remember this week, too, that the great mistake is to live as though I am alone. In your body is where you will learn that you belong to God. And the body of the other that you talk to is where they are going to learn that they belong. We have to free each other to know that and to notice that. In other words, pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. At Next Church Annual Gathering, that's the name of the conference, not me going to a Next Church. At Next Church Annual Gathering, the conference that I attended in Cincinnati this week, Reverend Dr. Brian Blount preached the word during the closing worship service. I knew I would likely have to leave before the service ended to catch my flight home on time, but I was craving benediction deep in my bones. After a couple days of learning from incredible people, learning about these creative relational ministries, after days of invitations to become rooted in spiritual practices, coming from a variety of different worldviews and lenses that we were invited to try on, after all of this, I was hungry for benediction, to be blessed, and to be sent. Now, yes, of course, we can send ourselves out in Jesus' name, but have you ever noticed that somehow it feels different when those words of blessing are uttered by someone else? Because Christ is not only within us, but Christ goes before us and behind us and above us and below us. I was hungry to be sent back home to you, beloveds, with the gift of a benediction, a blessing bestowed, a charge, and a challenge for the work ahead. So Dr. Blount preached. And for those of you who heard him here at Emmanuel a few years ago, you probably remember he can preach. And as time went along, I realized the sermon would not be finished by the time I estimated worship itself might end. So eventually I took a deep breath and collected my bag at what felt to me to be the last possible moment to leave and catch the plane, still 20 minutes from the airport. And so I left yearning for that blessing. But God had exactly the benediction I needed coming along the way. Three times, three people blessed me on my way, a holy trinity of blessing. As I rushed to the hotel exit to catch a cab, the bellman named Jonathan opened the door for me, hailed a cab with flair, and picked up my bag. I thanked him, saying, "Thank you for that kindness, Jonathan. That really made my day. Peace be with you." And he looked at me and paused and said, "I receive that, sister. Peace be with you, too." He paused again, and after my door was opened, he looked in at me and smiled and said, "That is the gospel. So you go out and you share that good news out there. That's the good news. So go share it." The first benediction. I was not wearing a clergy collar or a name tag. He couldn't know for sure I was a pastor, nor did I mention this conference at all. He paused to receive the gift of peace I offered and bless me tenfold in return, having no idea that benediction was exactly what my heart craved. Jonathan greeted the taxi driver through his window with an exchange of warmth I've rarely seen along commutes and day-to-day travel. It was like they were kindred spirits who had known each other for years. So as we started to drive, I asked how they knew each other, and my driver began to speak about Jonathan's sense of justice and fairness, how he didn't send taxi work to just his friends, but he included everyone fairly, and how much that mattered for his family to get by. As the conversation went on, we found ourselves laughing and talking about the preciousness of life, which turned into conversation about death and what that means to us, and the importance of staying present. We talked about what brings us each joy in life, and about family, and about crossing oceans to see each other. We talked the whole way, and when we finally arrived after those 20 minutes, he said warmly, "This feels strange to charge you." I feel like I just had coffee with my friend at my table. The second benediction. Even without the cups, we had been at table together. Both of us felt it and both of us knew it. I told him that I would have brought coffee along for the ride for both of us had I known I would be seeing my friend. But the truth is, I should have known. I should always know that in the heart of God, I am invited to do just that, to bring coffee and sit at table with people I don't know yet and share stories. Though I do not do this often enough when meeting strangers, the benediction came all the same. "Goodbye, my friend," I said, "and thank you for the coffee." We both laughed, and he drove away, both of us waving. I realized after that we had never exchanged our names, but we had shared coffee at a kitchen table all the same. The third and final benediction came as I flurried from the broken airport kiosk to the ticket counter and hurried in a harried sort of way that only the airport really brings out fully. having never flown out of Cincy before, not sure of the line that I would face, I realized suddenly that I had picked all the wrong things to wear. Hiking boots with approximately 10,000 laces, a belt, three layers, because conferences always mean dress in layers, laptop out, frazzled. Where is my liquids bag? Frazzled. Where did my snack bag go? The last airport had me remove the food too. Frazzled. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The TSA agent leaned over and said in a gentle tone, "Hold on a second. Breathe." Take all the time you need. Look behind you. Do you see a line of people trying to get through? You are not where you came from right now. Are you from DC? I confirmed that yes, I was flying back to DCA, and he said, I came from there too. But here, you gotta take time to breathe. There's no rushing here. Take the present. The third benediction. These blessings on my life came from three saints going about their daily lives. Angels pausing long enough and staying present enough to offer benedictions while holding the door, driving a taxi, aka sharing a cup of coffee, and helping me to make it through TSA with not only my stuff intact, but my spirit made a little more whole along the way. Each of these blessings are so tied to embodiment. A person holding a door, lifting a suitcase, literally carrying my baggage, raising his eyes to meet my own. A person driving my body from point A to point B, sharing that proverbial cup, a sign that we all know how innately food matters when people come together. We join our hearts and spirits in our bodies as we connect through shared food at table. And a TSA agent literally reminding me to breathe. We carry these blessings around in our bodies, friends. And we can give and receive these blessings over and over again, and all it requires is that we pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. In these bodies, we internalize and embody so much more than we are usually even aware. But it is here, in this place, that we nurture joy and wonder. It is here that we allow compassion and loving kindness to settle into us and live deeply within our souls. It is in our bodies that we learn what it feels like to be at peace, to live in God's shalom, not just our own. It is also here that we ingest injustice, and if we are not careful, we become it and perpetuate it thoughtlessly or thoughtfully and systematically. It is in these bodies that we dine on the idolatries of busyness, power, prestige, purchases, you name it, we own it or want it or know who has it. But what if we cared more about the bodies of those who have not? It is here in these bodies that we internalize the anxiety and the chaos swirling all around us. And so if we are to attend to what the Holy Spirit has in mind for the unfolding narrative of God's grace and justice in this world, we have to take inventory of what feels present and what feels absent from our bodies. How am I holding tension in this body, and for what purpose? Am I treating my body as my oldest, dearest friend, as a holy companion? Am I clinging to this body and the life that I treasure and what it might look like in my mind's eye? Do I need to learn how to release from clinging quite so tightly, to hold the joy of this life with gentler hands, as though cradling a small bird in my palms, giving wings enough room to heave in and out for each breath, but open enough to release when it's time one day for that bird to fly to a different kind of home? The mystery of God is so vast, and yet it's also very particular. The mystery of God is vast and beyond our full comprehension, but we also know it concretely in bread and cup, everyday stuff from our kitchen pantries, accessible, shared at a family table, open for all. Now, we can become increasingly acquainted with the mystery of God that is infused in the everyday simply by, can you guess it, paying attention, being astonished, and telling about it. I wonder how many times I've missed benedictions in my life when I was not tuned in and yearning for blessing. I wonder how many minutes I've let pass by, how many people I've walked past without a moment of acknowledgement that each person I will ever meet cradles this holy spark. And I wonder what that very same Spirit who made a holy mess of Mary's life might teach me today about paying attention. Paying attention to dreams when someone among us says they have had one. Or paying attention to the preciousness of this life and the lives of all our siblings to whom we are connected. And P.S., that's everyone. Or paying attention to the stories that beloveds are willing to share, either in scriptures that we read and hear, or in the taxi rides and airport security lines, or on the metro, or at the grocery store, or this week at the pharmacy, at the dining hall, in the Bible study, at share, working on our service Saturday yesterday, or if you're covered in dirt out in the community garden. Mystery can be a secret, or it can be for us an unfolding. Mystery can mean someone or something not yet revealed, or it can be the very process of revealing. Mystery can mean that which is unknown, or it can be the one who leads us into deeper knowing. That my humanity is bound up in yours, and your hope may be my hope too. Mystery can be for us a holy invitation to seek God more deeply through daily awareness and attention, and to seek the Holy Spirit's work within us in an embodied way. A wise one put it this way for me this week: the mystery of Christ is pouring itself out in this immediate moment. Did you hear that? The mystery of Christ is pouring itself out in this immediate moment. So I'm going to invite you to try a practice with me today. And before you say to yourself, "Pastor Katie's gone all New Age on us," I want to go ahead and name that the words I'm going to attach to these motions are adapted from a prayer written approximately in 375 AD. So whether you prefer things a little new school or a little old school, stick with me for this one, because I'm going to invite you to rise either in body or in spirit. You can do these movements either sitting or standing, whichever you prefer, and I will tell you I prefer it standing personally, but you need to be comfortable and adapt these motions however you need. Please remember, as you do these motions, our little skit from this morning about touching. Please be mindful not to touch the people around you as we move. Simply follow the motions as you see me do them. We'll go through all of the motions, and then we'll add the words. I'm going to start by warming your hands just a little. And place them over your heart. Now, as we do each motion, repeat these words. Christ above me.
Christ above me.
Christ beneath me.
Christ beneath me.
Christ before me.
Christ before me.
Christ behind me.
Christ behind me.
Christ within me.
Christ within me.
Amen. May we learn to recognize the one who lives and moves within and around and behind and before and above and inside of all of us. Not only the us's here in this room, but the us's and them's of this world. All that lives is created and beloved by God, and we did not escape the embodiment of God's love. There is mystery in that, and there is hope in that. There is hope living within you, the hope of the Spirit, which drives us beyond ourselves and also into ourselves. And the same Spirit that visited Mary, the same Spirit that drives the wind and splashes about in baptismal water, is the same Spirit who seeks us today. And the more that we connect to the Holy internally, the more we can begin to see and notice and love as though every person we will ever meet is in some way connected to that source too. So this morning, may we remember the source of our being, the same Spirit who came to Mary with an inconvenient but very important new reality, is that same Spirit that is seeking us. The same Spirit who both unsettled and comforted her is the one who may unsettle and center us today. So may angels disrupt our dreams and give us new ones. May we learn to say yes to God and each other, and may we remember that we embody the mysterious, creative, imaginative love of God, and learn to go about seeing each other in this world that way. Without risking these things, we just might miss the benedictions. To God be the glory now and forevermore. Amen.